said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here.
Hey, on today's catch-up, Premier Mark McGowan and, of course, the latest info on COVID-19.
We crossed to the UK after their complete shutdown.
We gave some local Perth businesses a shout-out and we took lots of your calls.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
And that news from the UK today with Boris Johnson going very tough on the people of Britain as well.
Yes, every day it seems to get more serious, so we just try to keep informed and keep calm, I guess, is the only way forward.
Yeah, very emotional Premier yesterday at a press conference and some strong words to be said. Mark McGowan, firstly, welcome and how are you doing?
Good morning, guys. No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. A lot of people, a lot of people in a lot of pain and yeah. You feel it very acutely because you sort of make decisions that hurt people and... you go to cafes or cinemas and you think, I'm going to close this person down and they could go bankrupt. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah, I don't envy your Premier. It's a very tough job and I think you're doing a great job at the moment and I think everyone understands the position you're in. We've just seen this morning how serious things have got in Britain with Boris Johnson's measures. Where are we at?
Well, we've got some pretty strict measures now. We've got border controls in. We've got rules that ensure that all sorts of venues are now closing. We've got the social distancing measures. We've got the requirements for self-isolation for people who've been overseas. We're getting our hospitals as much as we can cleared of people from elective surgeries so we can free up beds. All of these sorts of things are going on all over our state. But there will be more. And that's the sort of decisions that what's called the National Cabinet is making.
Yep.
So I'll participate in another meeting tonight and we may well do further steps.
Premier, you say there will be more and there might be further steps. I think the feeling from some people, and I'll put myself in that category, seeing what Boris did this morning, or the Prime Minister of England, that these are very clear instructions. And yes, they are quite hard, but there's a growing feeling that maybe that's where we need to go.
Well, that's what we'll discuss. We're clearly going to have to close down more things.
Yep.
So I authorised the closure yesterday of things like the zoo. So we'll clearly have to close down more things. I mean, from what the reports I've seen, he's saying more than two people can't be talking together or can't be together. that's just quite an extraordinary thing. I suppose we'll talk about those sorts of things at these meetings. What I want to have is national consistency. I'm trying to be, in fact, I am being, totally collaborative with the other states and the Prime Minister and making sure we make joint decisions so that the nation gets confidence that everyone is working together. So they're the sorts of things we'll discuss further. Look, we've been relatively lucky compared to the other states in Western Australia with our transmission rates, and it's overwhelmingly come from people returning from overseas. And we're going to do everything we can to keep it down.
Yeah, and we'll keep Matt's dog down as well. Now,
sorry.
Mr. Premier, have you got an update on the cruise ship? A lot of people are very concerned about this over the last 24 hours. 1,700 people on board and apparently almost 300 unwell. What's the latest? Where do we stand as a state on that one right now?
Well, no one's getting off the ship. So yep. The ship has arrived in Fremantle Harbour, I'm told, at 5 this morning to refuel. Very mixed messages coming from the ship. They told us by message that they had 269 people on board with respiratory illnesses,
yep.
And they wanted to offload them. We told them, no, you are not doing that, and you will not offload all these people, but we were going to assess if anyone was critically ill and potentially going to die so that we could give them medical attention and put them in a hospital subject to quarantine, but no one else would be allowed off the ship. Anyway, at this point in time, it appears, from what they told us late yesterday, that they're just going to refuel now and sail away. So if that's what they do, that's the best outcome.
Yeah. Premier, we asked our listeners to, write in some questions for you. And Leanne wanted to ask she says that she has been keeping her kids home from school and she thanks you for alleviating her guilt the other day for doing that. What are the next steps in terms of parents trying to keep their kids up to speed with their education?
Well, we're going to ensure that there's online material that parents will have access to. And we've also got the photocopiers going round the clock so we can get hard copy material to people who, one, might not have good internet access, or if there are internet problems. So these are things schools are currently, or the education department and schools are currently doing. I would expect teachers, if kids go home, as best they can, provide support to their kids in their classes as well. But it's difficult for teachers because they're currently teaching kids in the classrooms as well. I feel for our teaching and our education workforce, because these are difficult times. They're doing a great job, but they have to deal with all of these pressures. And obviously parents with kids at home would be no doubt onto the teachers asking for materials and the like. I just ask us to all appreciate the work our education workforce is doing.
Yeah, Mark, yesterday we all saw that footage on the news of hundreds, if not thousands, of people suddenly unemployed, and some have been previously, but lined up at Centrelink without very much organisational social distancing, not the fault of Centrelink staffer. What's the latest on the Centrelink situation today?
Well, I'd urge everyone to listen to the advice about keeping your distance from others. I'm certainly doing it myself, but, you know, I understand when you're lining up at Centrelink for the first time in your life, it's stressful thing, and it might not have occurred to people. I just urge from this point forward to do that. Look, this is appalling. You know, literally tens of thousands of people straight out of work. We had an economy that was taking off. You know, we got the unemployment figures the other day for February, and we had the lowest unemployment in 5 years, and we, you know, had 20,000 new jobs created that month, and now we have this happening. So it's
how bizarre.
Very, very sad for very, very many people.
Yeah, I mean, it seems extraordinary. 2 weeks ago, we just would not have been having this conversation. I can't believe it myself. It seems a bit frivolous to ask this, maybe, I don't know, but I'm sure it's on lots of people's minds. We do have, technically, some Easter holidays coming towards us. Are people allowed to travel? Do you want them to travel, or are we sort of saying no? Or, and indeed, is it a legal requirement to stay home?
I'd like people to stay home. I'd like people to stay home. Look, we're looking at what we can do to start to, if you like, shut down and seal off some parts of the state, particularly areas like the Kimberley and some of the goldfields. What you find with Aboriginal people in these areas is their immunity is compromised.
Yes.
And it's not as good, if you like, as non-Aboriginal people. So in order to save their lives, we're looking at what measures we can put in place to try and shut down non-essential travel. What I'd say about the rest of the state is, and you know, we're clearing rottenness now as well. So
yes,
look,
yep.
I just urge people to be careful, maintain social distancing, listen to all the advice. It's not the time for holidays.
Yeah. Mark, the latest on that situation, we did talk about Centrelink. The federal government has ordered this morning those registering for Centrelink for the first time do not need to go into an office to get the CRN that they require. You can proceed to MyGov. That is at mygov.au. The system is up and running, and the change was made today. So some staff may be still getting their heads around it, but it seems as though the system is back. Mark, you're talking again, another press conference at midday today, or round about lunchtime?
Oh, yeah, sometime. I thought it was late this morning in Maylands, I think it is.
Right, okay.
So I'm doing something with the police commissioner. Look, the senior staff in the public sector, indeed all the staff in the public sector, have been wonderful. Really, you know, hanging in there in difficult times. I've spoken to a number of the union leaders. They've been fantastic, you know, committed to helping the state, keeping things operating. This is a time that we should be sticking together, and overwhelmingly we are, and that's a good sign for our state.
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5.
And after those very tough new measures were handed down, of course, by our UK PM Boris Johnson, with Britain now in official lockdown, we thought we'd catch up with our UK correspondent, Gavin Gray. Gavin, firstly, welcome, mate. And Boris Johnson couldn't have been much tougher, could he?
Indeed. Yeah, this has been an announcement on television here tonight, which I think has really, really caused people to be slightly shocked. My phone's been non-stop since. So the Prime Minister putting the country into total lockdown. The death toll has now reached 335, but it was the fact that all the advice that the government were giving was frankly not being adhered to. So the government was encouraging people not to go out. There were pictures on social media and mobile phone footage showing all sorts of people in parks and still hanging around outside cafes and pubs, even though they were supposed to be shut. And this time the Prime Minister says, right, this time it is law, and this time the police will have the power to fine and to break up gatherings. So the list of things now that we are under curfew, as it were, to do. People must stay at home except for shopping for basic necessities like food or medicine. One round of daily exercise a day, and that, again, has to be with a space around you of at least 2 meters. You can also go out for any medical need and traveling to and from essential work. But all shops now not selling food or medicines are being effectively told to shut, and gatherings in public of more than 2 people who don't live together are being prohibited.
We've seen this all around the world, Gavin. This happened in Italy, everywhere. It's starting to happen in Australia, where we're having to make tougher laws and have the governments actually give firm indications, because people don't get the idea of what is actually happening here.
Yeah, and I think so many people are kind of underestimating what the severity of the situation is. Now, part of that problem, I think, has been blamed on different information about what the symptoms are, different information as well about how serious it is to young people who are otherwise fit and healthy. Looking at the pictures on social media of those out and about and ignoring the government advice over the last couple of days, I would say the vast majority are young to middle age. So I think some people have this perception that it's only a problem for old people. And partially, yes, it does affect more elderly people more than others. But of course, young people can be carriers, and they can also, therefore, go on to infect other people who have been obeying the rules. So this, I think, the government hopes will really clamp down on that. And this televised address, we'll get more details over the next few hours, also includes the shutting down of playgrounds, outdoor gyms, all places of worship must close immediately. And indeed, only funerals, I think, are now allowed, and libraries that are shut too. Parks are going to remain open for exercise, but any gathering of more than 2 people will be dispersed.
Hey, Gavin, if your friends ask you to catch up, say no. We've never heard anything or seen anything like it, have we?
No. And that was a very stern final bit, really, of the message from the Prime Minister, saying, yeah, you might be called over, you might think, oh, go on, it's only a quick chat or whatever, and you know, it's just going to be a couple of drinks or whatever. And the Prime Minister saying, just say no to it, because we've seen under Italy now that the rate of deaths has slowed down. Plenty of people, sadly, are still dying in Italy, but the rate has slowed down. But that has been after a couple of weeks of complete lockdown. And what the Prime Minister here in the UK is hoping to do is to effectively slow the whole speed with which the virus is transferred, but also slow down the speed with which people are going to hospital and in need of a ventilator. Because by doing that, he hopes to get more doctors and nurses in. Today, we learned several thousand recently retired are going and volunteering to go back into the National Health Service to get more ventilators, to get more testing kits, and to get more emergency care beds up and running. There is a rumor, unconfirmed, that a large exhibition hall in London may well be being eyed up in terms of a massive makeshift emergency hospital with thousands of beds. But as I said, that not announced by Downing Street. And I have to tell you, the rumour mill is swirling here.
Well, Gavin, something that I know Australians would like to hear from our government soon, but the UK have really stepped up. They're already supporting their residents financially. So there's a hold on mortgages and rent payments for 3 months. And certainly a lot of people are getting 80% or up to 80% of their wages paid even while they're not at work. So that takes the burden off people and might encourage them to stay home and actually focus on what the problem is here.
It does. There is one problem with these things. I mean, apart from a huge sum of money, roughly 15% of our gross domestic product is being spent on this plan. But the other problem with it is that it's good if you're a member of staff or on contract. But if you work a 0 hours contract or in the so-called gig economy, in other words, you're employed as and when by an employer, being told, yes, we need you for 4 hours tomorrow, we don't need you the day after. You know, very, very workers on that and freelance workers at the moment are not really covered by these government edicts. And so consequently, many people who are these gig economy workers think, well, if I'm not going to get any money from the government and I don't have much in the way of savings and I've got a mortgage, I need to carry on working. So I think the government's also looking at doing that. But, you know, trying to cover freelance earnings is very complicated because, of course, the wages aren't static. They rise and fall depending on demand. Yeah. And so trying to compensate somebody and encourage a small one-person business operator to stay at home is going to be very difficult to achieve in a fair way.
Gavin, we know why there are tougher measures here in the UK, but do you think it was also enhanced by those photos of the crowds on public transport? The photos and people ready for the tube were just ridiculous.
Yeah, they were, guys. And yet, you know, I actually kind of feel rather sorry on their behalf and also rather angry on their behalf. And the reason is this. The trains going in and out of London are much more sparsely populated. So you can achieve that so-called social distancing because many, many fewer people are going into London. Mm. The problem with the London Underground is somebody in their perceived wisdom decided to reduce the number of London Underground or tube trains because the need had gone down, the number of passengers had gone down. But of course, then you're forcing more people onto fewer trains and doing exactly the opposite of what you'd hoped to achieve by keeping people apart. So many people expressing their anger at the managers, many people expressing their amazement that they are still having to go into work, still having to use public transport, and then finding with fewer trains that they're just rammed into carriages where, it must be thoroughly unpleasant and very worrying and anxious times for those people.
Well, a great deal of frustration everywhere because I think we're seeing it unfold in other places in the world before it hits Australia, and we're seeing everyone repeat the same patterns over and over again like nobody is learning until it's too late. So hopefully now with a clear message like this from Boris, then maybe everybody's going to start to get how serious this is.
Indeed. Let's hope so. I suppose over the next 48 hours we'll find out more. But here we are being warned, break the rules, and the police will be on you.
Hey, Gavin, you want to catch up for a coffee?
If only we can.
I was waiting for a no. All the best, mate. Thanks for your time.
Take care, guys. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning
on Mix 94.5. We know lots of people have been out of work. They've instantly lost their jobs through to all the closures that are necessary and have to happen. But there are also lots of businesses that are trying to adapt and working from home or working online as much as they can. And so we thought we'd try and give a shout out to the small businesses that could use us to stay afloat right now.
Yeah, and Steve is on the line. Firstly, Steve, welcome, mate. What is your business name and what do you do?
Well, we're Kale & Co, and we're a small family-run business, which is through my wife and gorgeous mother-in-law, Michelle.
Well done.
We specialise in superfood meal plans, so dinners, lunches, snacks, coffees and juices. And you can also grab and go from our headquarters in Osborne Park, which is 92 Walters Drive, or jump online at kaleandco.com.au.
Oh, so, Steve, you deliver food out to those of us who are terrible cooks or can't be bothered?
Something like that, yeah. So we've got chefs there, and we've got 120 suburbs which we deliver to.
Wow.
We've got the refrigerated vans which we can bring them out to. So we're ready to service the community, and we're certainly sending our love and prayers out to everyone throughout Western Australia.
Cheers,
oh,
Steve.
Good on you, Steve.
All
I'm
the
sure
best.
That there'll be plenty of people that could do with those services right now.
Yeah, well, look, it's tough, and we've all got to support each other across the board. So any small part we can play in, helping anyone that's stuck at home with providing them with meal plans, yeah, we're certainly ready to help out the community.
That's good, mate, because Kim is at her place today. You just check Peppy Grove's on that list. That'd be terrific. Thanks,
sorry,
mate.
Sorry, I laughed too heartily.
You did, actually.
Oh, Peppy Grove.
Let's go to Wanneroo. G'day, Dino.
G'day, Kang. How are you going?
Good. Dino, what's your business? What do you do?
Good. I'd like to promote a friend of mine's business, Dunn Herbal Clinic in Wanneroo. Mm. Mm-hmm. They do, obviously, herbal tonics and 100% natural ointments and tonics and so on. They're promoting at the moment. I've just spoken to Kath Dunn out there. She's definitely promoting fresh fruit and vegetables as her advice. She usually does dietary advice as well, massages and so on at the moment. They've been cancelled, obviously.
Sure.
They've just been using and come up with a all-natural antiseptic, and they've got cold and flu tonics. They've got rubs for your nose, ear, nose and throat rubs that will help in this time. So for when people do go out, they've got an ointment, You just dab it around your nose just to clear the airways and help promote that.
She's a bit of a barrier.
Yeah, and she's also advising while all these tin foods and foods are being stockpiled, definitely get out and support your local grocer.
Yeah, because there's plenty of fresh food.
Yeah, make lots of soups. You can freeze a soup. She's advised to try, if you're not used to it, but try a bit of curry or a little bit of chilli in it to warm the body to help defend against that.
Well, and, good on you, Dino.
Keep you nourished. She's wishing everyone well. She's out at 345 Badger Up Road in Wanneroo.
Okay.
If you haven't been there, give them a call. They're on a Facebook page as well, Dunn Turbal Clinic.
Beautiful.
And I just can't encourage enough to get out there. Stay safe. It's a lovely big property to go and look at, so you can have that distance.
Oh, very good, Dino. Well, thanks, mate. You're a great mate for helping at Dunn's Herbal Clinic. We'll add that one to the list. Thanks, buddy. Well done. Let's go now to Mundaring. G'day, Joanne.
Hello.
Joanne, who do you work for? What do you do?
So I'm one of the owners of the Mundaring Hotel in the heart of Mundaring in the Perth Hills. Being a pub, obviously the government clamped down on the pubs and likes like that as a, you know, came as a bit of a shock. Kind of saw it coming, but not quite as quickly as that.
Yes.
So we've had to swiftly adapt and have a look at how we can service our customers as best as we can, especially in the local community. Everyone's really, really suffering. Everyone's in a bit of a state of shock, to be honest. But you know, we've got a couple of wonderful chefs. They've tweaked a menu that we're offering as takeaway and delivery within a 10-kilometer radius of the pub, for evenings at the moment, only evenings 7 days a week. So they've tweaked the menu. They've put some beautiful ingredients, you know, all the ginger, turmeric, chili, all the things, you know, in their homemade curries and homemade pastas, which seem to be a little bit scarce on the ground at the moment. So yeah, at the moment, you know, as I said, it's very early days. We've got it up on our Facebook page. It's going up on the website, www.mundaringhotel.com.au.
Well, good on you, Joanne. We know, as we say, these things are changing very quickly, and so businesses are having to adapt, but it's great that you can still provide a takeaway service and we encourage people and the locals to support it too, because we've all got to help each other.
Thank you. Exactly. I wish everyone stay safe, stay well, and eat well.
Yeah.
Terrific. Yeah. Thanks, Joanne. We appreciate it. A lot of people adapting, very quick on their feet, which is part of being good at your business, I guess. Mm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mundaring Hotel. Well done.
Yeah. And for those people who have lost their job and there have been massive queues at Centrelink, it was something like 170 metres at Warwick this morning, which is very disturbing. Now, there was a little bit of misinformation earlier this morning. You need a customer reference number to make a claim. And if you don't have one, this is regarding anyone, you know, people may have been queued up for Centrelink yesterday, and we ran through this earlier, but you'll need to call them to prove your identity. They'll support you and set up a Centrelink online account. If you already have the CRN, yes, of course, the online services are available, but you have to be patient with those as well.
Yeah, expect of delays, no doubt. So it'll be long waiting times. Yeah.
They do not recommend you lining up at actual Centrelink.
Yeah. If you don't need to, unless it's absolutely critical, if you're already getting a payment that's eligible for the economic support payment or the coronavirus supplement, you don't need to do anything. You'll get paid automatically.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Hey, Matt, we've just heard from the Premier, Mark McGowan. For those asking the question, how is the Premier holding up? He sounded a bit stronger in voice today, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and he's doing a great job. I'm doing very difficult circumstances, obviously, just for people who are wondering. You know, the advice is very strongly, don't go on holidays. This is really not the time to be travelling. So I think the government would love people to just stay home.
Yeah, he said the words, not a time for holidays, no travel in WA. Of course, the border's already closed. This is what Mark also said.
Well, we've got some pretty strict measures now. We've got border controls in. We've got rules that ensure that all sorts of venues are now closing. We've got the social distancing measures. We've got the requirements for self-isolation for people who've been overseas. We're getting our hospitals as much as we can cleared of people from elective surgeries so we can free up beds. All of these sorts of things are going on all over our state, you know, but there will be more.
Yeah, there will be more, and it looks like being late morning. They were first talking about lunchtime, but possibly late morning. I think the Premier was heading out to Maylands for a bit of a chat. So there will be more closures in WA.
Yeah, and look, I mean, obviously I ain't no scientist. I'm just a bloke trying to get through this like everyone else. But the more I look at stuff, it seems like in these places where they have gone to these fairly significant lockdowns, you know, infection rates do seem to be going down. So if that's what we can do, sit on your bum at home and watch a bit of telly and slow this infection down, then, you know, I think we can all get on board that.
Just stay away from others. Our lines are open. If you just want to have a chat, 1-3-3-5-3. It's an astounding and very sad situation where people all of a sudden haven't got work and they're concerned about putting food on the table, not just, you know, next week, but tonight. You know, that kind of situation.
Absolutely.
They're trying to contact their banks or their lending agencies and the rest of it. So 1-3-3-5-3, have you lost your job or how are you coping in general? Yeah, with very tough measures handed down by Boris Johnson in the UK overnight, and then we've caught up with the Premier who said there's more clampdowns to come, including, you know, no travel in WA. And tell us about your situation in Burswood. Rhonda's there.
What are your thoughts, Rhonda? How are you doing?
Yeah, you know, it's all very confusing and very scary and everything, of course, but... you know, what do you do? We're WAs, we soldier on. So, yeah, I'm just ringing just to have a chat about shopping and, you know, with the different scenarios that we're all experiencing. And just thought, you know, in WA in the summertime, we've got watering days. Yep. And I just wonder what the population think about maybe making those days actually our shopping days.
That's a great idea.
That's a fantastic idea.
And then you really go by the honour system that people are doing the right thing, Rhonda.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think, look, you know, my perspective is the vast majority of WA people would support that and be on board with it. And, so I wondered what the community might think.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even mind if, you know, yes, do the honour system, but I wouldn't even mind if we had people checking licences or whatever you needed to do to prove that. You know, one tries to be calm and we're being told not to hoard, but I've been to these shops now calmly 8 times and I still haven't been able to get myself some toilet roll. So, you know, I do need to get some at some point. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it might, you know, help everybody get some of those essentials and without having to, I mean, at the moment I'm still working and unfortunately, but, you know, I've got to take a day off work or some time off from the shop at 8 o'clock to go and buy the essentials.
So, Rhonda, thanks for your call this morning. It's a really good idea. We appreciate your idea, your initiative right there.
Yeah. How about you, Sally? What's happening in your world?
Hi, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we're getting this, Al. How are you travelling?
I'm doing well. I am a teacher in a high school, and I just wanted to say, first of all, I just wanted to say to you guys, wonderful idea for doing this. And Dean, I remember you doing this after 9/11, and you opened up the line so people could speak about the how they were feeling.
Yep.
And I was at home with a 6-month-old baby at the time, feeling so stressed. And hearing your voice on that day made all the difference. So wonderful job, guys. Wonderful job. For how we're going and how the kids are going, it's very difficult and it's very scary. And a lot of the kids are confused, as they would be, as adults are. And so I think, you know, I think I just like to say, remember that the kids are really scared and how we're feeling as adults, they're even more so because their level of understanding is so much less. I know that my colleagues are really worried as well, but once we go into the classrooms, we see our job as projecting that calm, secure, safe place so that they can feel safe. And that's just what we're focusing on doing at the moment.
Well, Sally, we have the same thing on air. We're like, you know, we want to keep the balance there. We want to keep people up and happy you know, but we don't want to ignore what's going on. So I suppose that's important for the kids to make sure that they're, you know, that they still have their childhood, they still get to play and that they kind of can hopefully get a bit of ignorance in there so that they don't have to know all the ins and outs of what we're dealing with for them.
Yeah, that balance is really what we're trying to do, I suppose, and it is really difficult because you need to answer their questions, but at the same time, we have to be able to say we just don't know a lot at this stage, and it's worrying them either. And you know, we need, everybody is worried, so they're going to be worried, but without creating sort of panic, because we don't want the kids panicked, you know, we don't want to see sort of, you know, the kids panicked as well. So, but we need them to sort of be understanding as much as possible the realities of the situation and things. So it isn't an easy time, but I know that my care colleagues are, you know, I'm in awe of what they're all doing and how everybody's doing it. It's people are pulling together and really supporting each other so that we can do the best job for the kids.
Absolutely. And Sally, you know, it's a privilege for us to be able to continue to broadcast, but we're under no illusion about how relatively safe what we're doing is for our own personal health. But what you and your colleagues are doing and what our health workers are doing, you know, our hats go off to you. And thank God that you're there doing that.
Thank you. And thank you to you guys, because, as I said, your voices and your you know, kind nature and everything coming through the airwaves is what people need.
Yeah, Sally, no, it's tough. I've got a wife who's an educator as well. So it is tough. You've got another day to go and do. And I guess we just put one foot in front of the other and day at
That's
a time.
That's it.
Yeah.
A day at a time.
And thanks for making the call, Sal.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you. Bye.
All the best
Bye.
To you and yours. Our lines are open this morning. I think that's the best way to do it, guys. 1-333-53.
Yeah, just tell us what's on your mind, what you're going through, and hey, if you've got any great suggestions like Rhonda did of doing the shopping days on the watering days, I really
like
that.
That's a brilliant idea.
Hey, do you reckon like the watering days, a lot of neighbours will be dobbing in people and they see them hop in the car? It's on your day, number 29. What do you do? Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. See, the Premier said this just a few moments ago to us here at Mix 94.5.
Just now, we've got border controls in, we've got rules that ensure that all sorts of venues are now closing. We've got the social distancing measures. We've got the requirements for self-isolation for people who've been overseas. We're getting our hospitals as much as we can cleared of people from elective surgeries so we can free up beds. All of these sorts of things are going on all over our state, you know, but there will be more.
There will be more later on this morning. Let's go to High Wycombe. Denise, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well, thank you. I'm very fortunate. I work in a school, so I'm still got a job. My husband's a nurse, so we're both, you know, very lucky in that way. We have two sons, a 16 and 14-year-old. They're all their sport. They're very sporting kids, and usually our whole weekends and after schools with sports and training. You know, I'm just trying to say, you know, everyone be positive, especially, you know, as much as you can around your kids. You know, it's a very difficult time. Help your people, help your friends, you know. I luckily still doing a personal trainer because it's just her own gym. She had mints, I couldn't get mints. I had toilet paper, like I didn't hoard it. I just happened to get a four pack and she couldn't. So we swapped that, you know, just to look out for each other. Got an elderly aunt, elderly parents, just be kind. Kindness is so essential at this time now. So.
Absolutely, Denise. And you know what? Like, I'm thinking if you get to be around your family and you've got kids and you've got everyone in the home there, you know, it is an opportunity to bring out the old board games that we used to play when there was a blackout and things like that, just to keep the conversation going and spend time together. As you say, even with the kids were playing sports on the weekend, now you all get to hang out together. So it's about just changing the way we spend time together.
There won't be board games at my family, but we went for a walk to Les Moody Falls with our dog, you know. So that's it. Like, just, yeah, I mean, our board games never end well.
But, too many competitive
beasts. Trying to keep the peace, yes.
Like Christmas.
The boys have got white line fever.
They'll do their own thing and we'll try to get together occasionally. But, just kindness. I mean, I just can't say it enough. Ellen DeGeneres says it. Be kind to each other. I mean, be kind. I mean, that's it, pretty much.
Good on you, Denise.
Thanks, Denise. Well done.
It's a simple message, but absolutely. That's the only way we're going to get through this.
Yeah. We've got Denise and her husband both on the front line in various aspects, a nurse and a teacher as well. The Booragoon. G'day, Robin. How are you travelling?
I'm great, thank you. On my way to work now.
Oh, good. What do you do, Robin?
I'm a nurse.
Oh, so, okay.
Front line.
How's it been? Because, it's a tough gig.
It is a tough gig, but, you know, we've got it handled at work. We're very well supported, but it's more the service providers that I want to get a big shout out to. You know, it's the before and after school care and the daycares that are in unprecedented times. Yeah. And I'm just saying to them, you know, like a little tip that I gave them both this morning is take the pencils away.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, use things that require your feet because there's no contamination with feet. Decrease the risk of kids touching the pencil, putting it into their mouth, you know, don't be telling them off all the time. Just take the temptations away.
Yeah, there's a lot of all of that, including kindies around Perth. They're having to clean every block and every pen and every paintbrush every time or every day, which is awful lot of time to try and kill some germs. Yeah.
It is. So just take it away.
Yeah, and, Robin. I've seen a lot of teachers online as well who aren't working at the moment who are saying, hey, if you're homeschooling your kids, reach out. We're happy to give you some ideas and to help you with the curriculum, as well as teachers of drama educators and things who aren't working that are putting on lots of videos about how to play with your kids and how to get them moving and how to engage them with different activities without using those traditional techniques we've always gone to.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. There's a saying that I heard on the TV yesterday. You know, out of adversity comes innovation. And I just think that, as parents, as people, as business owners, as everything, that that's the practice that we have to take on right now.
Yeah, great.
Robin, if I could just ask you, we're being told that one of the reasons that schools aren't being closed is because people like your good self would be put in a position where you would have nowhere to send your children whilst you're going in to look after people like us. Mm. What would happen and what would change for you if schools and childcare services shut down?
Well, I'm a single parent and I have no family in Perth, so I would have to stop work and go home.
Mm. Yeah, right. So, okay.
Mm. I'm fully supportive of the schools staying open until the moment that they say that it has to close.
Yeah, sure.
Work's aware, they've got things in place. It's just, you know, we just all have to stick together.
Yep.
But, you know, if I had a choice, I'd take them home.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah. Yep. And,
you know, so everybody is in their own unique position, and I just... work together on this.
Hey, Robin, just before we wrap it up, you've got the two-year-old's probably a bit young, but how's your eight-year-old handling things right at this point in time?
He's handling it quite well because we've all put it onto his, I don't suppose I'm allowed to mention a particular type of watch, but he has his reward on his watch of how often he needs to wash his hands. So
right, okay.
It's all a bit of a game right now.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, well done. I might take that, yes.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Robin, and all the best to you. Thanks for the call. We appreciate
Thank you.
Dr. Maxine Hawkins is on the line. Doctor, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Dr. Maxine, what are you experiencing out there?
Well, we have 45 psychologists working with us, so we have a good understanding of what's happening out there for people who already have anxiety. But definitely, even the average Joe, in a sense, who we wouldn't perhaps see in our practice, there is a lot of anxiety out there. So we really want to stress the importance of staying connected and linking into existing supports. Because basically anxiety comes from a sense of feeling unsafe. So the more safe we can feel in these times, that's really good for everybody. Because as we know, anxiety is quite infectious. So we've got to kind of everybody keep a bit of a levelness in terms of thinking about strategies to ground ourselves or really be aware of the chatter in terms of our self-talk, which is very much CBT-based, that can really influence the way we feel. So we're very much business as usual, but really we stress people to stay attending your appointments. That's either face-to-face, adhering to the normal recommendations at the moment, or through telemedicine, which, you know, I'm sure most psychologists, certainly our practice, we all are telemedicine Zoomed, kind of linked up, or the old-fashioned telephone to do your appointments. We're also finding a surge or a lot of interest in the groups that we're running. So we're running COVID-19 together groups, because if you think about traditionally the mothers groups, that no longer exists, and that's a really important support for new mothers.
Sure.
So we're running mothers' new support groups, we're running professionals at home groups, we're running professionals with families at home, because it's such a new thing.
Yeah, Dr. Maxine,
in terms of the different dynamics.
Lots of people are suffering anxiety for the first time, and if you've been lucky enough to not feel anxiety or identify what that is, it can be a very scary thing when it first happens to you. And some people will just be looking for baseline coping strategies. So if you could give some information to our producers about some websites and places that people could go to get tips on how to handle a panic attack or an anxiety attack as it happens, I think that would be really helpful for our listeners who might be going through this for the first time.
Most definitely, because it is very scary and it's rattling times that people haven't experienced before. And there's lots of very good evidence-based strategies and websites that are very useful. So I strongly would happily support that.
Yeah, hopefully making people feel safe. Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, we'll get those up online later.
Yeah, let's
go to
one.
Saw I saw something really interesting. You know, we talked about the toilet paper hoarding endlessly for the last few weeks.
Yep.
And, you know, just as a way of forgiving and understanding why we go down that road, because it's in times like this, people seek control of something.
Of course.
And yeah. So by grabbing all of those toilet rolls, it's one thing that you can tick off the box and go, I've got this. Now, it doesn't make it a good thing to do, nor is it helpful for everyone else, but it does come from an understandable instinct of, I need something that I can control. Yeah. So when you understand this, it's easier to deal with it, of course.
Yeah, of course. I've got 9,000 cans of baked beans at home.
Yes.
Feeling much better. G'day, Jane. That was a joke. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. I just wanted to speak up for the nurses. I'm a school teacher,
yep.
And I heard the nurse before who was anxious about a school closing down, you know, how it would put her in that situation. Look, these are wonderful people, but I think Mr. McGowan needs to go to some other hospitals than southern ones south of the river.
Right.
My daughter works at a big northern suburbs hospital. She's in a general medical public ward.
Right.
So she gets everybody. She gets elderly people that come in with all sorts of problems from nursing homes and elsewhere. She gets people from every walk of life in there that she deals with. It's like ground zero just on a normal daily basis.
Sure.
Now, she's really, really stressed out to the max. She's got three little kids. Her partner's in a high-risk area as well. The problem is they are not being given any protective gear.
And the whole world is short of resources, and every business is trying to order online and trying to get hand sanitizers and gloves and masks. And,
yes.
And the hospitals absolutely should have priority. And I think that our government are aware of that, but it's been really hard to get the resources because
if you've got nurses
they're stored up.
Who have no, if you've got nurses who are working front line without protective gear, there goes your health force straight away.
Absolutely.
They're in the worst possible place to be, of course, with everyone there at once.
Well, and they're the people helping us. So, yeah, absolutely,
exactly.
Jane, we get it.
Totally dependent on them, and I would encourage that not only in a crisis, that they should be totally appreciated rather than, you know, some of the treatment they get on a day-to-day basis, and perhaps more than a 0.5% pay rise next time it comes around.
Yep.
0.5%.
Yeah.
How
rude is that? And now we need them, and it's like all this glory stuff. However, give them the protective gear, because I think a lot of healthcare workers are going to have post-traumatic stress disorder after this thing.
I think you're right, Jane. We appreciate your time this morning and, of course, your efforts as a teacher as well, teacher and a nurse in the family. Got a lot of those double-pronged families at the front line.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure,
and yeah, again, this is one of the things that I guess they're hoping will be achieved from people staying at home is that that those supplies and resources can be sent to where they need to be.
Because
if you're at home, maybe you don't need to do it as much.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has pretty much locked things down. He's locked Britain down. I'll start with you, Matt, and just letting everyone know, it's going to sound a bit different today. Matt's at his place. Kimber's at her place. There is a slight delay.
Yeah, look, a very serious and measured Boris Johnson. We're used to seeing him quite the sort of ruffled hair buffoon. He loved to play that role, but very serious here, basically saying stay at home unless you absolutely need to go out. But I'm sure you'll play the audio and he'll tell us what he means.
Yeah, we'll get to, we'll have a chat about it in a moment. Kimber, we'll play Boris. Here's a couple of minutes of what Boris Johnson had to say overnight in the UK.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home. Because the critical thing we must do to stop the disease spreading between households, that is why people will only be allowed to leave their home for the following very limited purposes. Shopping for basic necessities as infrequently as possible. One form of exercise a day, for example, a run, walk or cycle, alone or with members of your household. Any medical need to provide care or to help a vulnerable person. And travelling to and from work, but only where this is absolutely necessary and cannot be done from home. That's all. These are the only reasons you should leave your home. You should not be meeting friends. If your friends ask you to meet, you should say no. You should not be meeting family members who do not live in your home. You should not be going shopping except for essentials like food and medicine. And you should do this as little as you can. and use food delivery services where you can. If you don't follow the rules, the police will have the powers to enforce them, including through fines and dispersing gatherings. To ensure compliance with the government's instruction to stay at home, we will immediately close all shops selling non-essential goods, including clothing and electronic stores and other premises, including libraries, playgrounds and outdoor gyms and places of worship. We'll stop all gatherings of more than two people in public, excluding people you live with, and we'll stop all social events, including weddings, baptisms and other ceremonies, but excluding funerals. Parks will remain open for exercise, but gatherings will be dispersed.
Okay, these are very harsh words, and this is the this is a moment for Boris Johnson to get tough. And Kimber, it's unfortunate that it has to be this way. It's just the way the world is right now.
You know what? I think it's great. I think we need clear instructions like that because people are not getting it. I'm on this Facebook page for like Kmart hacks, yep. You know, and the women on there last night, there were people on there just saying they're still going to Kmart. They're rejoicing that it's open and they're buying knickknacks and bedroom decorations. And I'm going, I don't think people are really getting it. I think we need people like Boris Johnson saying it very clearly, stop catching up with your friends.
I mean, to be fair, the message has been mixed from our government, sort of saying we've got to keep the economy going, keep spending, here's a stimulus package. Yeah. So I think people are caught between a rock and a hard place. They don't know what the right thing to do is. And I know it's been difficult for the government to make the right call, but I think Boris has opened the door up for our own leaders here, and I hope they take the lead.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Because everyone, all three of us, are separated. You two in isolation in your own homes, which must be weird just for starters, Manny.
It is weird. I hate not being with you guys. And as you just saw, the dog jumped up on me again then. But on the upside, my lovely partner T did just hand me a coffee. So, you know, there's pros and cons. What about you, Kimber?
Yeah, it's funny.
It's
I know.
Going well.
It's a weird thing because you're like, the energy is different when you're on your own, obviously. But I've been walking around yesterday. I walked the dog around the block and it was interesting because when I passed people, everyone gave out like the 2 meters distance. So they'd walk around the path onto the road. We'd give each other a big smile and a wave and we kind of laughed it off like, oh, we're doing the thing we have to do. So that was pretty cool because I think everyone's still talking to each other and trying to make sure we connect on the outside world.
Yeah, it is bizarre, isn't it? I mean, even one of Laurie's daughters came over, Alex came over last night, and I couldn't give her a hug because it was like, well, do I hug? No, I guess we don't. And it does seem quite bizarre, but it's, you know, people just are very understanding.
Yes, it seems like we're having to evolve very quickly here into a new, you know, let's face it, manners and etiquette evolve over quite a long period of time. And now we're being asked to sort of throw all of our, the way we're hardwired to do things and to behave in 48 hours. We have to change it, which I think on the whole, we're probably doing quite well.
Yeah. And Kimber, someone at work said to me last week, she said, I realised how much of a touchy-feely person I am because all of a sudden I feel guilty. And she does a lot of her communication, touching people on the back or the shoulder with her workmates.
Oh, yeah. And my sister's that person. She's super huggy and it's just been really hard for her to adapt. She said, I know it sounds weird because she just feels like she's being rude. It's not in her nature. It's kind of against the grain for a lot of us. But I think at least now everyone understands we're all in that situation. So there's no way you can be rude now. And all the people who have always loved self-isolating and are pretty introverted are pretty happy right now because they don't have to make an effort.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's their time to shine.
Yeah.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
We thought we'd cross to the UK and see what's going on there with a sports agent. His name is Sam Maxwell. Sam, there is a lot going on in your world and with all of your athletes right now, mate. We thought we'd just check in and see how you're doing.
Fine for everyone. And particularly in the sporting world as well. I guess news has come through this morning, Australian time, that confirmation the Olympics will be postponed to 2021. So I think it's probably the biggest, I guess, what sporting event in the world. It's, pretty massive news given the context of everything that's going on.
Sam, I'm an avid follower of the EPL, the Premier League, and European football, and that was sort of seemed to be one of the first things that was stopping. And at the time, it seemed like just a bit of an inconvenience, but now it seems like it was exactly the measure that needed to be taken. And Europe, it seems to be a few weeks ahead of us in a very serious situation.
I think you're right. I mean, I think the EPL and a lot of the tennis leagues were the first competitions to come out and halt competitions. And this was really only about 12 days ago. And the things that's happened then has been you know, just rapid and so fast. And now we see pretty much every sporting competition in the world is stopping for an unknown period, really.
Well, Sam, we know people love their sport, and you know, but it's not just that. It brings people together. It's a good distraction, and it's entertainment. So, how are the fans taking the changes there?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Because I mean, you look at Australia. You know, we love our sport, as you said. You know, it forms the topic of conversations over a coffee in the morning, at lunchtimes, at, you know, the dinner table. So that's definitely something that's going to be, you know, fill a big void in everyone's life. For the months ahead, but I think, you know, everyone's also pretty understanding that there are bigger things at play at the moment, and hopefully everyone can stay healthy and fit, and yeah, we can ride through this.
Hey Sam, talk about the Tokyo Olympics being put off till 2021. It causes a whole lot of other problems. The athletes' village has been sold off to people in Tokyo. You got the World Athletics champs and the swimming champs next year. It's not easy, is it?
It creates, I mean, obviously in the scheme of things, it's very small, but it creates so many problems. I mean, it's an event that happens once every 4 years. All other sports, as you said, plan their calendars around them. Athletes plan their training programs, you know, often 3 or 4 years out.
Yeah.
So that creates a lot of headaches. There are already, no one really knows exactly when it's going to be. They said it's going to be next year, but it will probably come out in the next couple of weeks. You're right, facilities, crowds, sponsors, media, there's a whole lot of issues to go through. But I guess, the most important thing, you want to stop the spread. So I do think the right decision has been made, but from the sport side, it definitely presents a lot of headaches for those working in it over the next couple of months.
Yeah, buddy, and one hates it to take it to an economic question, but of course we've seen players taking massive pay cuts. You represent and know people in the sporting field. I mean, how are people prepared to take those pay cuts? Is everyone sort of getting on board?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one because I think it comes down to every sport is different. I mean, you would have seen overnight with the AFL, the AFL players' stance is that they'll take a 50% pay cut until the end of May. But those players have playing contracts. Yep. You look at something on the tennis side, however, that at the moment there's no play until the start of June, and I think that will actually be extended. The only income for those players is through prize money. So it's about a 3 or 4 month period where these players aren't earning a living. Now look at the top end of the game. That's, you know, that those guys have a fair bit in the bank. But down the, you know, guys ranked about 100, 120 in the world, you know, not as much. So yeah, I think from everyone is understanding that the cuts across the board, but obviously like anything, it's going to hit others harder than most.
Hey Sam, thanks for your time this morning, mate. We know you've got a lot on. You've been running around like Rafa in a full on fifth set. So all the best to you and your athletes.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix
94.5. Shut up. Like they're old.
He's one of Frio's biggest stars, and he's here to give us the inside word on the Dockers. Rory Lobb with Claire Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Obviously, this is affecting everybody on the planet right now from the Fremantle Dockers. Rory Lobb, how are you holding up, bud?
Yeah, not too bad. Just at home at the moment and still seeing what's going to happen, yeah.
Well, disappointing news, of course, to postpone the AFL season, but what has the club asked of you now? We've had a couple of days to settle in. Have they got you training still at home?
Yeah, so we've been given our programs for the next couple of months, basically mostly individualised, just a lot of stuff to do at home and then a few running sessions here and there, so... Yeah, it's a lot different, but we've got to stay in shape just in case the next 2 months we end up resuming play.
Rory, I'll ask the question because Kimber's too embarrassed to ask it. She basically wants you to send her a training regime to do at home. You know.
Oh, God, as if I could keep up.
Including the little witch's hats, little plastic ones, yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't have much to do, so a few boys are going to be going pretty hard at home, so, yeah.
And so, mate, how, you know, you got to play one game. I mean, that must be a very weird and empty feeling.
Yeah, especially because a lot of boys didn't miss any pre-season training sessions, and then a lot of boys are ready to go this season. So, yeah, it's a bit frustrating at times, but, yeah, everyone's going through it. I mean, the whole world's in lockdown, so it's understandable.
Okay, let's talk about money, Rory. I mean, in most of the time, it's a very positive, it's a kind of situation you just don't talk to anyone about, you know, apart from your agent or your family. But this situation with the players taking a pay cut, what else can you do? 50% pay cut for those couple of months.
Yeah, you know, obviously it's going to hurt a lot of the boys, especially the young ones that haven't been on a list very long. But yeah, there's a lot of other people in the world that have lost their jobs. So we've got to consider ourselves lucky. I mean, it's pretty hard times, but yeah, especially being in lockdown, you've just got to be careful, yeah.
Yeah. Has the club made any other demands of you, like, the, you know, necessary things in terms of who you're spending time with? We know that there was talk about your partners not living in the house or having to work from home. Have they asked anything else?
No. I think most of the boys are with their partners still at home, and it's just more contact with the outside world. We're just still keeping ourselves in isolation, which I think everyone's been told to do anyway. So I think we're just taking all the measures we can. So in the next 10 weeks or whenever it is, we're ready to go and we can start the season again.
Yeah, mate, I'm just interested in those measures because obviously, you know, as elite athletes, I'm sure the club is very strict with you guys, maybe stricter than the government is with mere mortals like us. Mm. Are they saying to you, do not go to the shops, or, you know, are they supplying you with groceries, for example?
We still need to go to the shops ourselves or get our partners to. But it's just taking the precautions when we go, making sure we're not touching anything too much and washing our hands before we go and after straight away. And we've got a lot of measures that we're sort of taking into play. But it's really hard because you obviously still need to eat. But the majority of us are pretty much just staying at home. So it's just stocking up on food and then just sort of riding out as much as possible, yeah.
Yeah, the important stuff now, Rory. What's your PlayStation game of choice, bud?
I'll probably be on Call of Duty with a few of the boys. So we'll see how we go.
Call of Duty whilst you're not on duty, for, as far as footy's concerned. Weird days, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Well, Rory, it's good to hear your voice, mate. All the best. Yeah, stay strong and stay at home.
No worries. You too.
Our man from the Freo Dockers, Rory Lobb, right there. And it's tough times, isn't it, guys? Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
I can't imagine how they're going to keep that training up. You know, we've talked many times to even when we used to have Hayden Ballantyne on the show, and because he got suspended quite a few times, and he said,
oh, did he?
You know, that running and doing that stuff at home just cannot compare to what happens when you're in a match.
Yeah, but Call of Duty, Kimber.
Yeah, he's playing Call of Duty.
That is basically like match fitness.
Yeah. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. Guys, with everything that's been going on, it just means we have to search that little bit harder for the lighter side and the fun things and the cool things that are going on the planet. True?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You say cool things. I haven't been doing anything very cool.
Nothing cool?
I mean, I think you guys know James and I have been prepping for retirement for months now, and we've been watching episodes of The Golden Girls and doing 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles.
Right.
You've got this isolation thing nailed.
Yeah, we're really, you know, we've been like this well before coronavirus.
You're the people who like jigsaw puzzles.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we had a few. And the thing is, you don't want to keep buying them. And I'm worried about getting them at secondhand stores because I'm worried there'll be pieces missing.
Yeah.
And so some girls at work also do puzzles. And I said, well, why don't we do a swap? We'll bring in our puzzles. And then if we go into isolation, you'll have plenty to do. And I was off at home in isolation when I left the puzzles on the desk and said, look, I'm not there. Could you just swap some out for me? Now, I gave them beautiful coastlines and sunsets and gorgeous vistas to look at. I've ended up with kitchen plates in a wood buffet.
That sounds good.
I'm putting together.
Oh, it's called Still Life, Kimber.
Yeah, I like that one.
It's a country kitchen wood buffet with some kitchen plates in it. That's what I'm working on at the moment. I feel like I got gypped.
You know, it'd be better like a scene from the Amalfi Coast or something. Is it one of those in there?
It certainly would be, even with a piece missing.
It was the one boat.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? What have you been up to, Maddie, that's made you appreciate the better? You know, there's some of the things that we still that we can still enjoy.
Oh, look, I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it. We're still being blown away by the kindness of people, but that's a warm, fuzzy feeling rather than it making you laugh. But I guess I'm very lucky to have a very busy household these days with a stepdaughter and two crazy animals. And if I'm ever feeling a little bit overwhelmed, I tend to look to one of them.
Yeah.
To be doing something, you know, completely normal for them, which just, you know, makes me giggle and makes me not take myself too seriously.
Yeah.
Trying to talk to the Premier with the Dalmaniac Dalmatian going off.
And we had to apologise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Steppy D bored of you yet? Constantly going, let's write a song. Do you want to do a dance together? Let's perform.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. She's very bored of me. She's been very patient because she knows that I'm the neediest person in the house.
No.
And I'm not getting enough validation, let's be honest.
Yeah? Is she sick of you going, check it? Being the coolest person in the room?
It's clear that I am the uncoolest person on the planet, so there's no problem there.
Nothing wrong with that. This will make you smile, right? It's March 24, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So 8 years ago today, I got married to Laurie.
Oh!
How cool is that, eh?
Oh, that's nice.
Happy anniversary.
And one of the songs we played at our ceremony down there at Mosman's, which is no longer open, feels like the world's closing, doesn't it? Down there at the Swan River, was the theme from Grand Designs. And when we caught up with Kevin MacLeod from Grand Designs a few weeks ago, even he thought I was a weirdo.
Yeah, he did.
What were you two thinking?
Oh, but isn't that sweet? 8 years and you two love each other just like the day you met.
Oh, she's all right.
Yeah, you're all smitten. Well, it's gorgeous.
The weird thing is we have a real connection with Mix 94.5 is that I found Laurie through a competition we did called Date My Dad. Some bloke in Coolbala was looking for love. We sort of preceded a lot was what was going on in TV dating shows.
And Claire's nicked her.
Date My Dad.
I white-handed the contest and how was that?
Well,
and careful
course,
what you enter at Mix 94.5.
Yeah, literally.
I met my betrothed in the studio too. So it's Mix 94.5 has done a better job getting people together than Married at First Sight.
It's all about love.
Yeah.
Good odds, guys. Yeah. Good odds.
Our new reality show is Kimber Needs a Husband. No, James.
What's James going to do about that? It's going to be awkward.
No pressure. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. Dr. Stephen Fenner is on the line right now, and he is one of WA's leading psychiatrists, and he works in an emergency hospital. Obviously, right now, he has been diagnosed a week or so ago with COVID-19, so he's doing work from home. Doctor, thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Dr. Stephen, it is risky talking about the virus symptoms because we know it's different for everyone, and for some people it may not seem serious, and for others it's obviously fatal. But what have you experienced?
Well, I reckon I'm like probably 80% of people. I woke up in the morning with a mild cough and, you know, cough, flu-y symptoms, a bit of aching in my limbs. I get asthma occasionally, and I had asthma that morning. And later in the day, I developed a fever. But really, you know, I've had viral illnesses like everybody else, and this was a 4 out of 10 compared to other illnesses I've had.
Wow.
And what day are you at, Stephen?
This would be day 7 for me, or day 8, actually. You know, I got symptoms on Tuesday last week, so this is the 8th day today.
Yeah, and Doc, you're not quite sure where you got it from? What's your situation in the hospital?
No, so, I mean, I don't know where I got it. Of course, we were thinking about people from overseas. My daughter arrived from overseas almost the right time.
Okay.
And but she kept away from us until a week after she got here, and then I saw her only once, and that was not quite at the right time. It was too close to when my symptoms developed. And then she went on to test negative twice, so it wouldn't be from her. Common sense tells me it was from work. I have three different teams at two different hospitals, and if you know, with the patients we see, obviously, you know, I work in the emergency department, so there's a lot of unknown patients and visitors. But we see 5 times as many staff and work closely together. There's a greater chance it came from another staff member as it came from a patient. It's hard to know.
I mean, the great concern, obviously, for people has been how do we know how long we're incubating it before we're already contagious? And so were the doctors clear with you about, you know, if they're saying you're on day 7, was that day 7 just from when you started having symptoms that morning? And, you know, you obviously weren't isolated before that.
That's right. So I was pretty pretty quick at getting onto isolation, myself and my family and my children. I didn't go to school, my wife didn't go to work, and I didn't go to work from the time I woke up in the morning with those symptoms, because I thought, this is a bit suspicious. I don't get sick very often, and this does actually seem like the profile of the symptoms, so we all stayed home. Thankfully, I mean, I'm actually quite pleased, because after that, we could have had, there's a lot of anxiety, say, at the school or elsewhere, people wondering if contact with my children could have put them at risk, and I know absolutely that it didn't, because we, So if, once your symptoms appear, they're saying that they think you might be contagious for a day or two before that.
Right.
And that's all. It's a bit hard to know sometimes when your symptoms appear. I mean, a lot of people had contact with me have been staying home.
Mm.
I've had to go home and they're waiting. And this waiting thing is, you know, actually isolation's not too bad. We've got ways of coping with it nowadays. Mm. One of the things that's a little bit different about it is this thing of waiting, not being sure when, if you get symptoms, and then thinking, is this my imagination, or is this just the cold? You know, well, that makes it very hard to know when your symptoms began.
Of course.
It's the only thing about the contagious period. But really, it's only a day or two before you get sick that you're contagious. So if a family member gets sick and everyone stays away from the rest of the community, it's going to be about 5 days or 7 days before they get the next people in the circle contract the illness. So you're absolutely preventing those people from spreading it. The virus will stop if you isolate yourself. It doesn't spread any further.
Mm. So, what's the protocol, Dr. Fenner? Would you have to test negative twice before you're allowed out of your isolation?
I heard Peter Dutton say that about himself. I don't know, actually. I'm going to ask today. What I did here was test negative once, and then somebody was telling me that the Commonwealth's thinking of changing that so that you just have to have a couple of days symptom-free and then you can go back to work. I actually don't know. I mean, to me, I think in my job, it would be good to have a negative swab before I go back.
Yeah.
At least one.
Doc, you talk about that waiting game, but it'd be easy to get a bit paranoid in that time. Did you find yourself getting a bit obsessed with what you were touching and what you were doing in that time?
While I was waiting, luckily I didn't have to wait very long for my results. It was only a day.
Yep.
But we just sort of behaved as though I had it, really.
Right. Yeah. Wise.
And everyone's done that. But most of the people I know who've been tested have come back negative.
And so it
puts them in a difficult situation. Now, when you get your negative test and then you still have to isolate, but you don't know where it's never going to be resolved quite.
Yeah, and so once you were tested positive, in terms of your actual household, are you sort of staying in one bedroom and the family's keeping separate, or did everyone kind of resign themselves to the fact that, well, now it's in the house, we're probably going to get it?
We could have done that. I would have been more like that, but my wife was pretty fastidious about separating me from the rest of the family, and so she's done a really great job of isolating me in the bedroom upstairs. The kids have all joined in, told me to get back to my room when they see me outside.
Sure.
I've been separate in the upstairs bedroom with the ensuite, and that's paid off in the sense that my children have had a few symptoms and my wife's had a few symptoms. No one's tested positive. So by now we're getting to day seven. It's becoming unlikely that they will actually contract it.
Yeah. Hey, Doctor.
Within the family, we've managed to contain that virus.
Doc, we appreciate your time today and all the best moving forward.
Oh, you're welcome. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the
morning on Mix 94.5. And we woke to the news of Boris Johnson, the English PM, pretty much shutting down Britain today, guys. It was very strong language, wasn't it, from
Absolutely.
Boris?
Absolutely. When you're talking about not allowing groups of more than two, and unless you actually live with them, that's a pretty significant change to normal everyday life.
Yeah, and it seemed so dramatic because it was very clear boundaries. You can't do this, you can't do that. Yeah. None of us want to have our liberties stripped. But I think from the most part, what we're hearing from listeners and from people in our families and our friends, most people are pretty happy to go, just shut this thing down. Let's all just lock in, hold on tight and get out the other side of it. I don't need to go shopping down at, you know, the local stores, Big W, and get things I don't need.
Yeah. Immediately after that, the reaction from Brits on Twitter, and one guy just got on and goes, I can't believe we just got grounded by Boris Johnson. This is what Boris had to say.
That is why people will only be allowed to leave their home for the following very limited purposes. Shopping for basic necessities as infrequently as possible. One form of exercise a day, for example, a run, walk or cycle, alone or with members of your household. Any medical need to provide care or to help a vulnerable person. And travelling to and from work, but only where this is absolutely necessary and cannot be done from home. That's all. You should not be meeting friends. You should not be meeting family members who do not live in your home. You should not be going shopping except for essentials like food and medicine. And you should do this as little as you can.
Very strong language from Boris Johnson overnight in the UK. And then, of course, we move to the local situation domestically. And Mark McGowan, who we had on the show this morning, and he was very clear, guys, in what he had to say.
I'd like people to stay home. I'd like people to stay home. Look, we're looking at what we can do to start shut down and seal off some parts of the state. Look, I just urge people to be careful, maintain social distancing, listen to all the advice. It's not the time for holidays. Well, we've got some pretty strict measures now. We've got border controls in. We've got rules that ensure that all sorts of venues are now closing. We've got the social distancing measures. We've got the requirements for self-isolation for people who've been overseas. We're getting our hospitals as much as we can cleared of people from elective surgeries so we can free up beds. All of these sorts of things are going on all over our state, you know, but there will be more.
So the first big one there, of course, was no holidays in the West, very clear.
Yeah, it is. And I know even just last night I was talking to a friend and he said to me, oh, yeah, well, you know, a bunch of the guys that want to get together on the weekend and have drinks at someone's house. And I was like, you just can't. Like I had to call them out and say, I think you're doing the wrong thing. Mm. Like it just makes more sense to not do that right now. It seems super risky. Just because you can't go to the pub doesn't mean you move the pub to your house, you know?
Yeah, and it is. It's difficult. I mean, I've been having difficult conversations with my mum who's, you know, very vulnerable. She has breathing issues at the best of times. Even her, and you know, I tried to sort of tell her, you know, don't go anywhere. I'll do it for you. But you know, it's hard to break habits. And there she was out at the shops, and so I've got to go and read the Riot Act to her again this morning. And
yeah,
so, you know, I will provide you with what you need, and I won't come too close. And I still love you, but these are times where we have to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah, and just a measure on how things change so quickly. This time last week, I was getting ready to go to that funeral I went to, guys.
That's right.
If it was today, I wouldn't be going because there were people. No. I got hugged, and it was too much contact on that day. But it was emotion as well. We're trying to go about our normal lives. It's just not the way it can be.
Yeah, and the virus isn't waiting for the time restraints. It's like people go, oh, I flew into the country just in time because now I've missed the quarantine period. And you're like, well, the virus is still there. Just because you flew in at 6 p.m. as opposed to 8 p.m., that stuff doesn't matter. So if you can be ahead of the curve and try and change your habits now instead of waiting for the government to tell you what you know is ultimately going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I guess you can't hide your emotions that you're just glad to be feeling safe for being home with family, loved ones and the like. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Now, guys, I'm really hoping that we can, next time we speak to Mark McGowan, because we did chat to him today and he told us a few more things, but I'm hoping that when we speak to him, we can push Rhonda's idea. Rhonda called up and said, hey, why don't we only go to the shopping centres on our self-watering days?
Genius.
On our house watering days. So because we all have that locked in already, we know what our watering days are, it would stop congestion at the shops, help us to isolate a little bit more, keep a safe distance. I think we should push it through. I think they'd get community support.
Yeah,
I think it's a great idea. And, you know, you could even sort of tweak it further where we could, you know, how they went with the age the older people having their time at 7 o'clock and whatnot, much the same way that you're supposed to board an aircraft at, you know, according to row numbers. We really could stagger things so that we could make it hopefully quite a peaceful and you know, easier experience.
Yeah, we could make it the odd number. House numbers have to go to Coles and IGA, and the even ones go to Woolies and Charlie Carter's. How does that sound?
Charlie Carter's. Four square.
Action.
Hey, let's have a bit more fun tomorrow. I'd like to thank that caller who called in to shut Kimber down when she started talking about board games and said, it won't be board games at my place.
No, too competitive.